just for you guys there. I forgot that last time. Happy New Year. We are going to have a ordination ceremony immediately following the service for our new elder, John Chasteen, but not for our new deacon, because he's not here. We're going to have to catch him later. But then for everybody who was elected and or reelected, we'll ask you to come up at the end, and we'll have two prayers when we're going. And my lesson kind of fits, kind of leads us there, I hope. Okay. You change. There we go. New Year's resolutions. We don't do them as much anymore, mainly because we all resolve to lose weight and it never works. I don't have to ask for people to raise their hands to agree with that. I can just look out and see who you are. So, not. Okay, not New Year's resolutions. But you know, we need something. Okay. When we get up here the first Sunday of the year, we need to talk a little bit about the new year. And so I would say let's do New Year's advice. Things to think about in the new year, things to concentrate on, particularly as they have to do with the Lord's work, and particularly as they have to do with the Lord's work here at Pecan Grove. So here we go, New Year's advice, much, much better. Okay, unless you don't like the advice, but which case I listen. Okay, all right. You know, and one of the things that we do is we try to simplify Christianity, to move it away from the complicated thing it has become in some sectors to the simple thing that it began as, is to look back at what did the first Christians do. The idea being that whatever they did to get into Christ, got you into Christ and is enough. But then also the idea that they were closer to Christ and closer to the apostles than we are, okay? And that certainly as 2,000 years of church history has kind of moved us. You know, I was thinking about this. We wonder why churches through the first 1,500 years of Christianity didn't stay closer to the Bible. And we don't have a good answer, except for a good part of that period, they didn't have the Bible the way we have it. Printing books didn't come in until about 1500. Gutenberg and Christopher Columbus were contemporaries. And the early church, when it set off on paths in the first and late and second century, many of the churches didn't have all the books that we have, you know. Paul tells I think it's the Ephesians, says you read the letter to the Laodiceans and tell them to read the letter here. So I guess we have to be a little, we have to go easy on folks, I think. Okay. They were illiterate. Many of them were illiterate. Okay, if you go into a Greek Orthodox church, it's really interesting because you walk in and kind of the gospel is not preached so much as it's up in pictures and icons, little wooden images, and that's the way people were taught, and we can at least say there are believers to them. You know, Jesus asked, when the Son of Man returns, will he find anyone faithful? And so I think if he returns this year in 2016, the answer will be yes, certainly here at Pecan Grove. So let's look at four passages from Acts about the church in Jerusalem and the church in Antioch, and see what we can take from that as we get some New Year's advice. Acts chapter 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I need to tell you before we go along that all four of these passages end up with a little gem like that one. You probably memorized it like I did, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Here we see a picture of a primitive Christianity at its most primitive. Now, primitive sometimes has a negative connotation, and I don't mean that. I might even say undiluted Christianity. Christianity which hasn't been beaten down by the world, moved into directions that maybe were not the best, that at least as a church would not have chosen. And we see a picture here of a people united together in a common cause. And doing things that united people do. Helping one another. Sharing with one another. Praising God. Meeting together. Okay, both in the temple. They didn't have church buildings yet. And in their homes. And we see this, I call it the Garden of Eden of the church. Okay, before the serpent of persecution comes in. I'm mixing my metaphors here a little bit. Don't hold me too close to these. Okay. But this wonderful view of the church, which has now infinite possibilities. Okay. Infinite possibilities. And we come to our first bit of advice. A sharing church is a growing church. Okay. Now that can mean many things, and some of them have to do with Haley putting the right date on your check. Although I do say that the bank ought to honor that check. Okay, I know Clyde changed his to 2015 today. I saw him doing it. But a sharing church is a church that does things together. They help each other out. Okay. They give to those people that need to be given to. They give to the church generously, realizing this thing. And this is the part of the sharing church is, you're in need today, and I'll help you. If I'm in need tomorrow, you will help me. It's based on a trust. We call that a social contract. I don't like that term particularly well. But it's this idea that we're kind of all in this together. Okay. And so my advice in this new year is let that grow in your mind. Okay, we're all in this together. We can depend on each other. And how we can depend on each other is if you are a dependable person. Okay, it only takes one or two people not being dependable before that trust breaks down. It's kind of like if a person lies to you, you say, okay, you've lied to me once. I'm not going to trust you implicitly. So a sharing church is a growing church. Even if we don't grow in numbers, we grow in things like were described here in Acts chapter 2. A sharing church is a growing church. Acts chapter 6. And now in those days, still in the Jerusalem church, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Greek-speaking Jews arose against the Hebrews. That would be the Hebrew or Aramaic-speaking Jews in the congregation. It was a mixed congregation. Because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Okay. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Now, when I grew up, that's where we quit. And everything else was the social gospel. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Maybe you grew up with that. It's not right for the church to get away from preaching the gospel. Well, that's true, isn't it? I mean, we don't, you know, it's It's not either or, though, is it? Okay. Because the next thing that is said is, therefore, brothers. Okay. In other words, we're the apostles. We're the ones who have this special gift of the Holy Spirit. We're the ones, we said in the previous verse, are doing the signs and the wonders. Okay. And we're preaching the gospel. The Lord has promised that he will tell us what to say. We don't have to worry about that. So we can't quit that. That is more important. But this distribution, fair distribution, is also important. Okay. And that kind of tells me the balance that the church ought to have here. Okay. Nobody ought to be left out. But we don't have to quit doing our primary job to make sure our secondary job gets done. Okay? We just don't have to. It's called multitasking. When you're watching TV, looking at your iPad in one hand, Joe, did Joe leave? Because I'm talking to Joe, and your Android phone in the other, you're multitasking, aren't you? We all know what you're doing. I think Scott's doing it right now. I gotta stand up and defend him here. There was a survey taken of whether it was right or wrong to look at your cell phone during church. And it was like 85% said it's wrong. Until they mentioned that a lot of people have their Bibles on their cell phones, and then it went down to about 35%. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt there, brother. Okay. All right. Joe, I'm sorry, you missed it. Okay. So where was I? We can multitask. We can do more than one thing. I can eat a Whopper and drive it at the same time. That may be against the law, but I can do it. I promise you, I can do it. Now, let me tell you, okay, let me tell you two things. When they put too much mayonnaise on it, it just gets real messy. Okay, it gets real messy. Because you can drive and you can eat a Whopper, but you can't hold that paper in the right place and drive and eat a Whopper at the same time. But we can multitask as a congregation. We can get these things done. And preaching, passing out the to the widows. But you notice there's one other issue here. Fairness. No division. There was a division in this congregation, wasn't there? Okay. It was, one was over who spoke up what language. Okay. Evidently to one set of Jews, the Hellenists, they spoke Greek. They were from some place where they speak Greek, and that didn't have to be very far away. And Hebrew was, they probably knew it, but it wasn't their fluent language. And those from Jerusalem that originated there, you remember the church began at Pentecost, and there were people from all over there in Pentecost. And evidently those that were converted stayed. And so these people, they speak Hebrew primarily, okay? And evidently they were kind of controlling the distribution. And these people said, hey, what about us? Maybe somebody says here, learn Hebrew and we'll bring you some food, but no, I don't know that. That's not what we do. But they had a problem with division, didn't they? Had a problem with these people and that. You know, if there's one problem with the church today, it's division. I mean, we got us, we got a church here, we got a church down there. Johnson Street is building down the road. I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting a church these days. And I got to say that if you go through little towns, I get great joy. The Lord forgive me. I get great joy in seeing all the different kind of Baptist churches that are in these little towns where they're not big enough to have any one church. And generally, there's just one Church of Christ. So I feel kind of good about that. Now you get in bigger cities and it's completely different. Divisions. People not hitting on all cylinders. Okay. Well, Clyde's saying the engine timing is off. Which brings us then, and then here's what they did. And they set before, did I read the rest of that? And what they said pleased the whole gathering. Okay. Maybe you didn't grow up in a church where problems were presented to the congregation and solutions were reached by consensus. Now, I'm not saying they voted, but there was obviously a consensus. Okay. And if you grew up like that, maybe your congregation should have read this part of Acts a little bit differently. What we do when we read the Bible is we often reinforce what we already believe and don't look at it for real and see what does it teach us. Okay. This is one of the things that we have gone through with our election. An attempt to do this kind of thing here in this congregation, and I've got to congratulate you. Okay. As near as I can tell, there were no fist fights. As near as I can tell, no one has left. Yeah, Sadie's still here. You're still here. All right, good. You did a good job at what was primarily a vote, which is a divisive thing. Okay, a divisive. Y'all want to know how we counted the votes? You know, we tore the names off of them. We got the ballots, and we piled all the ballots that were unanimous. We wrote down the minimum number you had to have and started counting those. When we got to that number, we just quit because the stack of unanimous ballots was this high, and there just weren't very many that weren't. Okay. We're one mind. And congratulations to you for that. Congratulations to you. Okay. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. That's a Greek name, by the way, and the Holy Spirit. And Philip, another Greek name. And Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, a person that taught Greek or spoke Greek. Okay. These are the ones they picked to take care of this situation. And here's the interesting thing. Therefore, brothers, pick out about... All right, here where I'm going. And they set... These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. We're going to do a little of that in a little while. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So, our next thing is, problems are solved by uniting and working. They're not solved by talking about it, Facebooking about it, Twittering about it, and backbiting about it, and griping about it. Okay. When I was in the Air Force, we had a saying, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Okay. Well, here's a situation where everybody took some kind of leadership. Everybody kind of, the modern word is, took ownership of the problem. Everybody did something to keep the church together, and what happened? They went forward. They grew. Acts 11. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen has been killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. Okay, that's what the early church believed. Peter believed it. Okay, and it took a vision with the story of Cornelius to convince him otherwise, speaking only to Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also. In other words, to the people of Greek background, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Okay. Now, I want you to analyze that last sentence. Okay, the hand of the Lord was with him. With who? The ones that were preaching to the Greeks had gone beyond the church's view that this is just a little retelling of Judaism. Okay, gone beyond it. And how could they tell that the Lord was with them? Because people were believing the gospel. People were becoming Christians. You know, if the church has job one, that's it, isn't it? If you work in sales, job one is sales, and you can tell whether you're going to keep your job, unless you're the son of the owner, by how much you sell. Right? Nobody is particularly sympathetic to your great explanation of why you didn't sell anything. You know, I made 1,000 calls. Well, but how much did you sell? Well, I drove 10,000 miles. Well, how much did you sell? Job number one, produce more Christians. And the report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, who may not have believed this. Okay. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful in the Lord with a steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And so Barnabas went to Tarsus, just kind of around the corner of the Mediterranean Sea there, to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Number three, let the gospel overcome our divisions. If there is an indictment of the church through the years, and you don't have to go back very far, you don't have to go back centuries, it's that they have let themselves get in the way of the gospel. Okay, they've let themselves get away in the way of the gospel. And our job is to preach the gospel and go where the gospel leads us. Go where the gospel leads us. Finally, still in Antioch. And there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And when they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, apart from me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And as we can say, the rest is history. The beginning of the greatest missionary journey certainly told about in the New Testament and probably of all time. Two of the greatest preachers that ever were sent out by a church which had overcome division, which had been built out of a diverse population who had concentrated on the gospel. And then when they were called along by the Lord, and you know, the way they're called here, there's just no doubt in your mind. Sometimes we have a little doubt in our mind. They have no doubt in their mind. They laid their hands on them and sent them out. Okay. They did what was required. So finally, have a heart for missions. Job one. It's very interesting as you read church history that you find out that there were a lot of parts of the world that didn't hear the gospel in any meaningful way for thousands of years. Wasn't brought to Japan for 1,500 years. Missionaries were almost totally wiped out of Japan for a while. It was another 100 years before it came out. Lithuania, Estonia, Russia didn't get the gospel until about 900. Somehow they kind of forgot this. Somehow they got away from it. Okay, here you got in Paul's life, if we just take him as an example, it's the best one we've got. They spread the gospel throughout the eastern half of the Mediterranean Sea in less than a generation. Seems to have been preached in England and in Ireland in the 3rd century, the 400s. Took longer to get to places. In Greenville, Texas, despite the churches, despite the radio broadcasts, there are places where the gospel, if it has not been heard, has not had an effect. The people are living more and more without the benefit of the basic knowledge of the gospel message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified than they were 5 years ago, than they were 10 years ago. We're moving backwards. If you discount population. If you discount population. Just go to Walmart. We don't have a Target. What else do we have? Go to Staples. No, Staples is not a good... Go to Walmart. Okay. What's that? Oh, we do have two Walmarts, don't we? That's right. We haven't got any Walmarts in Ladonia. Okay, and go to Walmart and throw a stone. And what are the chances? You're hitting a real Christian. A person who's really dedicated to the Christ, who goes to church, who does those things, and a person that doesn't. You know, I used to like to go on Sunday after church and see who was in Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, and then kind of go, you're not. You skipped church, didn't you? But I look out here, and that doesn't work anymore. We don't wear Sunday go-to-meeting shirts. I can't identify them anymore. You can't do it. There's something wrong there, isn't there? Sure, yeah. But we're losing the battle. Well, just numbers-wise, maybe it's the Lord's will. Okay. One of the saddest things we ever see is a person who has lost their child to Christ. Okay. A lot of times people can't deal with it. They come up with excuses. They refuse to accept it. Okay. It's one of the saddest things. Everybody who's lost to Christ is someone's child. Okay. Everybody is someone's child. I think of our missionaries in Africa. I think of Kennedy. You know, he said something about 6 years ago, two or three times ago that he was here. He said, we're fighting against the Muslims. He might be excluded from England for saying that now. But what he meant was this. The Northern Africa is primarily Muslim territory. You know, Egypt, Algeria, Libya, Tunisia, Morocco, they're Muslim countries. And it's coming down, and he saw it's coming down, kind of like people coming out of Canada and coming in, and he saw it coming down, and it was off my radar at the time. You know, all we were thinking about was Afghanistan, maybe Iraq at the time. And it's coming down. And he had this idea that we've got to stop it. Not stop it militarily, I don't think that's what he was talking about, but it needs to be stopped because souls are being lost. Okay? And now we look what's happened. You know, the battle is not the northern part of the Saharan Desert. It's the southern part. And then next you get into the Congo and the Rwanda, Burundi, and then you're in Zambia and Zimbabwe, where he is. And he sees this coming. And these people, these missionaries that we've got, in a very real way, are standing at the bulwark. Okay? They're not fighting with rifles and rocket-propelled grenades. They're fighting with the word of the Lord, but they're fighting. And we need to help them. None of us are going over there, I'm guessing. You know, it takes a special calling, doesn't it? You can look at Keith Honey and see that calling in his eyes. Okay, it might take a special call. But that's what they're doing. You know, Paul had that very idea. It's just, we're not fighting against principalities. Or we're fighting against principalities and powers. Powers of darkness. Things out of this world. There's this thing going on. And we need to remember our missions. Okay. And how do you remember our missions? A sharing church. A problem-solving church. A church that overcomes division, that doesn't get caught in these things. Because if you are worried about yourself, you're not able to help other people. If you're fighting with your neighbor, you're not concerned about what's happening over the hill or over the ocean. Okay. We need to be, FDR called the United States an arsenal of democracy. Well, Christians back here, where we've got a little extra money, where we've got a little extra time, need to be an arsenal of the gospel for those that are out there. Keep missions in mind. Let the gospel overcome our divisions. Problems are solved by uniting and working, and a sharing church is a growing church. And Happy New Year.